So this is Monday, December 12th, and we're looking at your operation of the God-given ability is what we're studying. And it's all about the manifestations of the gift of Holy Spirit. And so far, we have seen that Holy Spirit can refer to God, who's the giver, or can refer to the gift of Holy Spirit that God gave. Okay? We also looked at the differences between the Holy Spirit that was given to individuals in Old Testament times before Pentecost, and how that was different from what came on Pentecost, even though they're both called Holy Spirit, and there are many similarities because it's Spirit and it's holy in both cases. But before Pentecost, we saw that it was given conditionally, sometimes on a temporary basis, and not everybody that received it received the same portion necessarily. Like we saw, Elisha got a double portion that Elijah got. And some people that received that Spirit did miracles and healed people, and others did not. They just spoke for God. But whatever they were given to do, that's what they did. Because before Pentecost, it was given to those who were considered servants of God. And it was given to enable them and equip them to carry out whatever God would have them to do. On Pentecost, it was poured out so that anybody could receive it. Okay, not just a select few, but anybody can receive the gift of Holy Spirit today by confessing Jesus Christ as Lord and believing in your heart that God has raised him from the dead. It says when you do that, believing the gospel, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And then you have that new relationship with God, because God is Spirit, and now you have Spirit within you, and that Spirit within you enables you to cry, Abba, Father, meaning you have a father-child relationship with the Creator of all things. And that's a wonderful thing. It gives you eternal life. And it enables you to do everything that anybody else can do that's received the same Spirit. So those are some of the differences. Now, tonight I wanted to look at the idea that it is one gift of Holy Spirit with nine different manifestations of that gift. The word manifestation means to become apparent so that it can be seen, okay? If something is manifested, that means something that would be otherwise hidden from you is now open to view. It can be seen on the level of the five senses. It can many times be heard, felt, smelt. Those are manifestations of something that comes into the realm of the five senses. When it comes to Holy Spirit, there are nine different ways it will be manifested that we'll be looking at shortly. But first, I want to make sure that everyone understands that there is only one gift that's given. Many people in the Christian world talk about the gifts of the Spirit, like speaking in tongues is a gift, and prophecy is a gift, and word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning the spirits are separate gifts that some people might get and other people might not get. There's a lot of confusion in this field. I did an internet search today of the manifestations of the Spirit. There's all kinds of different explanations. I saw one site that said there's seven manifestations of the Spirit. One said there's 12. One said there was 18. One said that the Spirit can make you fall down or laugh or shake. There's a lot of crazy stuff out there, so we want to go to the Scriptures only and make sure we're going by the Scriptures to learn about the Spirit of God. The Scriptures themselves were given by way of the Spirit of God to holy men that wrote it down, right? The only way to understand the things of God is to go by the words that He's given us. But we need to understand the words. The men who translated the Bible did not necessarily have a clear understanding of how the manifestations of the Spirit worked. So we can't go by the face value translation. We have to dig a little deeper sometimes to see how it fits together. And we can do that. Once you understand it, it's very clear and it's very simple. The key is one gift, nine manifestations. Go to Acts chapter 2, please. Acts chapter 2 is regarding the day of Pentecost when this gift of Holy Spirit was poured out first to the 12 apostles in the temple. And that's when they spoke in tongues for the first time. It's Acts chapter 2, and we're going to look at verse 38. So Peter got up in the temple and addressed the men of Israel that were there. And in verse 38 says, "Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Okay? How many gifts? Only one. It's the gift. It's in the singular, right? You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And that would be the gift of Holy Spirit, the gift that God gave. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Okay? In Acts chapter 10, towards the end of chapter 10, in verse 45, this is when Peter addressed the group of Gentiles, Cornelius and his family and friends, and they all started speaking in tongues. And in verse 45, it says, "And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost," the gift of Holy Spirit. How many gifts? One, right? One gift. And it's the complete gift of Holy Spirit. They heard them speak with tongues. That's always the first manifestation of the gift of Holy Spirit, is speaking in tongues. But there are nine manifestations in total, but only one gift. And then in chapter 11, when Peter went back to Jerusalem to talk with the other believers there and explain to them what happened with these Gentiles, this is the first time that Gentiles received the gift. We want to go to verse 17. So in explaining what happened, he said, "For as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God?" So God had given the Gentiles the like gift, or the same gift that he had given to the apostles in the beginning and to everybody else that had believed since then. You know, the 3,000 that believed that day and the 5,000 and the others that believed after that all received the same gift. And the Gentiles now received the same gift of Holy Spirit that everybody else had. You see? So there's one gift. Look at Ephesians chapter 4 in verse 7. It tells us what is given to every one of us. Okay? It says, "But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ." You see that? "Unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ." So every one of us that believes in Jesus Christ receives the gift of Christ, the one gift. Now in the next verse, he talks about gifts in the plural, but we'll see he's talking about something different. Verse 8 says, "Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts," plural, "unto men." And then there's a little parenthesis that we'll skip, and he picks it up again in verse 11. And it says, "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." So the gifts, plural, that he gave were apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. These are gifts to the church. An apostle or a prophet or evangelist, pastor, or teacher, these are individuals with ministries that are assigned to them by God to benefit the rest of the body of Christ. That's why they're given to the church. Now, to the individual that is an apostle, he is given the responsibility. He is given the function of being an apostle, but what he does benefits the whole rest of the church, you see? That's why it's a gift to the church, and they're called gift ministries. That's why they're called gifts here. They're also called gifts in Romans. In Romans chapter 12, it talks about gifts differing. Now, in Ephesians, it says the gift that's given to every one of us, it's the same measure, right? The measure of the gift of Christ. When it comes to gifts differing, then it's talking about ministries or ways of serving that are beneficial to the body of Christ. So we're going to start in verse 5, where it says, "So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness." These are the differing gifts, where one could be a prophet and would prophesy as a prophet by revelation, okay? Or one could just have a ministry when he prophesies, it's a special gift to the rest of the body. But it also talks about teachers and different ways of ministering and exhorting, ruling ministries where they are leaders that organize other people. So these gifts differing, they're not talking about the 9 manifestations of the Spirit. They're talking about different ways of benefiting the rest of the body of Christ, okay? And that is something that we have to keep in mind so that we don't get confused when it comes to the manifestations of the Spirit. Because if someone thinks that, say, speaking in tongues is a separate gift, and then prophecy is a separate gift, and then interpretation is a separate gift, and word of knowledge is a separate gift, you might think, well, I might not be able to do all those things because, you know, I didn't get that gift. Or maybe a person never does any of those things thinking that he never got that gift, when the truth is that you already have the one gift of Holy Spirit that enables you to do all of those things. And then it's just a matter of learning from the Scriptures what it means to have this ability and how to carry it out, how to do these things, because there's examples, many examples in the Word of God that tell us these things. So if you go to 1 Corinthians 12, if you look at verse 1, it says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant." Now, notice that the word gifts is in italics, okay? Slanty letters. And remember what that means. That means that this is a word that was added by the translators. There's no corresponding Greek word for the word gifts in this verse. And that's why they put it in italics to let you know. Okay? So concerning spiritual, and they put it there because it would have to be spiritual something, but the word spiritual in itself, pneumatikos, would mean spiritual matters. Okay? Concerning spiritual things, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. And the manifestations of the Spirit are spiritual things, right? There are other spiritual things that are mentioned along with the manifestations here. Verse 2 says, "You know that you were Gentiles, carried away into these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost, but by Holy Spirit." That means, when a person says Jesus is Lord and actually believes in their heart that God raised him from the dead, that's when they receive the Holy Spirit. So then they have the ability to speak by the Holy Spirit, by speaking in tongues, interpreting, prophesying. That's the proof. That's the absolute proof that a person is saved. Okay. Now, a person can be saved and never do any of that. They're still saved. But if they speak in tongues, interpret, prophesy, then there's proof that everybody else knows without a doubt. Verse 4 says, "Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit." And we saw that there's apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, right? There's those that prophesy, that teach, that minister, that exhort, that show mercy, that are leaders. Those are the diversities of gifts, okay? But it's the same Spirit. So an apostle or a prophet or an evangelist, they have the same Spirit that a pastor or teacher would and that every other believer does. So when a person becomes a minister in some way, say a teacher or a pastor, they don't receive extra Spirit to do the job. What they receive is the God-given responsibility to do the job, okay? The means of carrying out that responsibility is by using the same Spirit that everybody else has. like the 12 apostles, they all received the gift of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, right? The same day there were 3,000 others that believed. They received the same Spirit that the apostles had. It didn't make them apostles, right? They didn't have that responsibility of being an apostle, but they had the same Spirit that the apostles had. What was different with the apostles is they had a job to do over and above what everybody else was called to do. Now, among those that believed, some of them might have become apostles or prophets or evangelists, pastors and teachers, because there were other men that had these ministries that you can read about in the book of Acts, okay? But they carried out their responsibilities using the same Spirit. That's why it says there are diversities of gifts, ways that a person benefits the rest of the body of Christ, but the same Spirit. There's only one Spirit that's given. And there are differences of administrations. That means ways of serving. It's the Greek word diakonia. We get deacon from that. But ways of serving, different ways of serving. There are different things a person can do, but the same Lord. So they're under the direction of the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. So the word operations here, it's energema. This word energema is from the Greek verb energeo, which means to work within or to energize. We get energy or energizing from this Greek word, okay? And energema is the result of that energizing. They translated it operations here. There are diversities of operations or effects produced by the working within of the Spirit of God. There are different effects produced, but it's the same God which worketh all in all. He works all of the different ways of energizing in all the people that have the same gift. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit, the different ways people benefit the body of Christ with their ministries, but they all have the same Spirit. There are differences of administrations, different ways of serving, but they're serving the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations or effects produced by God working within, but it is the same God which worketh, and that's energeo, God worketh all in all. He energizes it in every individual. But, verse 7, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. Okay? This is very important to know. The manifestation of the Spirit, for the Spirit to be manifested so that it can be seen and heard, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man. Not every man in the world, but every man that believes in Jesus Christ. Okay? Because this epistle is addressed to those who have confessed Jesus Christ as their Lord. So it's given to every man, every believer in the body of Christ. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. Now, you see, the word withal doesn't have a corresponding Strong's number there. So the word profit, it's actually a verb, but it's a verb that's used as a noun. It's called a participle. When a verb is used as a noun, then it functions as a noun. And sumphero means to bear or bring together, okay? To contribute to the whole. And that's why it's translated profit. It's a benefit. Each manifestation of the Spirit has its own usefulness, its own benefit, its own profit, okay? Something that makes it valuable and worthwhile. And then verses 8 to 10 talk about 4 to 1. And it's not talking about to one individual. It means for one profit, for one benefit. Is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. To or for another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. It has this word to in here. Okay, they translated it as to, but it should be understood as for the prophet. Okay, so it's not something that's given to a person, but it's a prophet. It's a way that each manifestation of the Spirit has a benefit that contributes to the good of all. So I'm going to read this to you from the working translation, as what we call it, is a journey through the Acts and Epistles by Walter Cummins and Danny Bader. And verses 8 through 10 are translated this way. For example, for one prophet, a word of wisdom is given by the Spirit. For another, a word of knowledge by the same Spirit. For another, believing by the same Spirit. For another, gifts of healings by the same or the one Spirit. For another, operations of miracles. For another, prophecy. For another, discernings of spirits. For another, kinds of tongues. For another, interpretation of tongues. Okay? So the confusion has come from the way it's been translated, not only in the King James, but in almost every other translation. It's translated, to one is given, as if it means to one person is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge. If that were actually the case, then there would be no one person that could do all nine of them, right? If speaking in tongues is given to one but not another, then not everybody would be able to speak in tongues. And yet, in chapter 14, verse 5, it says, I would that you all spake with tongues. If speaking in tongues was a separate gift that was only given to certain people, how could he say, I would that you all spake with tongues? Then he says, but rather, or even more so, that you prophesied. Everyone is able to prophesy, okay, and speak in tongues. It says, for greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret. That means everyone that speaks in tongues is able to interpret also, that the church may receive edifying. So it's important to understand that it's one gift with nine manifestations of that gift. Go back to chapter 12, please. One gift with nine manifestations. And the ability to manifest the Spirit is given to everyone. And there's a prophet for each one. And it lists nine. Let's count them. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. That's one. To another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. Okay? And it even makes it very clear. It's the same Spirit that word of wisdom and word of knowledge can be manifested. To another, faith or believing by the same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healing. That's four. By the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. That's five. To another, prophecy. That's six. To another, discerning of spirits is seven. To another, diverse kinds of tongues is eight. To another, the interpretation of tongues, that's nine, right? There are nine of them. Nine manifestations of the gift of Holy Spirit. Now, for a matter of understanding how they function, we like to put them in three different groups because there's three different overall functionalities. Three of them are for utterance, okay? There's speaking involved, and that's speaking in tongues, interpretation of tongues, and prophecy. Those three are where God works in a person to give them the words to say. If it's in speaking in tongues, it'll be in a language that the person doesn't know. If it's interpretation of tongues or prophecy, it will be in a language that the person does know. All right? Then there are three revelation manifestations. Word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits. And then there are three power or impartation manifestations. Faith or believing, miracles, gifts of healing. However you group them, there's nine altogether. A number of years ago, my brother gave me a gift. I don't remember whether it was for Christmas or my birthday, but he gave me a Swiss Army knife, and I have it to this day. This Swiss Army knife has nine different gadgets that are connected to it. It has a big blade here, a little blade there. It has a can opener here. It has a bottle opener that is also a screwdriver. It has a pair of scissors, pliers, a Phillips head screwdriver. That's seven so far. But it also has a toothpick. That's eight. And it has tweezers. That's nine. Nine different ways that this one gift can be used. And it has that different functionality. So the gift of Holy Spirit is kind of like that. One gift, but nine different functionalities, nine different things it can do, and each one is good for something unique. Okay? Now, as far as the manifestations of the Spirit go, I want to give you some definitions of the different manifestations so you can get a better understanding of what they are and what they do. So the first manifestation of the Spirit, when the apostles first received that gift of the Holy Spirit, the first thing they did is they spoke in tongues, right? We saw that in Acts chapter 2, verse 4, where it said, "And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost," or with Holy Spirit, the gift, "and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." That's the first thing they did when they received the gift. They also did other things afterwards using that same gift, because it says in verse 43, "And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles." For wonders and signs to be done, there's got to be revelation given and believing in miracles or healing. Okay? So all the other manifestations were also done by the recipients of the same gift, but they started out speaking in tongues. Also, when the Gentiles, Cornelius and family and friends, the first thing they did was speak in tongues. There was another group in Ephesus that Paul ministered to. They were witnessed to by Apollos, but Paul asked them if they'd received the Holy Spirit. They hadn't heard about it. He explained it to them and helped them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied right off the bat. So let me share with you some of the definitions here. So when it comes to speaking in tongues, the manifestation of speaking in tongues is your operation of the God-given ability, whereby you may, at any time in your private prayer life or in a believer's meeting, if interpreted, show forth by speaking in a language unknown to you the external manifestation in the senses world of the internal presence of the gift of Holy Spirit. But something you want to think about. So the manifestation of speaking in tongues, it's your operation of the God-given ability. So with that gift of Holy Spirit comes the God-given ability to speak in tongues and to do all the others. When you determine to speak in tongues, then you are operating, it's your operation of the God-given ability. You determine to speak in tongues. You decide when you're going to do it. You're going to decide how long you're going to do it. God's not going to take you over and control you and make you speak in tongues. You decide. So the fact that you're speaking in tongues, that's your business. What you're saying when you speak in tongues, that's God's business, you see? So God will give you the words, he'll give you the utterance when you determine I'm going to speak in tongues now. Okay? Got that? We'll look at examples of this. But that's the main definition of speaking in tongues. Another definition I've found is that it is your operation of the God-given ability whereby you bring forth in a language which you do not understand as the Spirit gives the utterance or the words that you speak. That's a very simple definition there. Your operation of the God-given ability whereby you bring forth words in a language which you do not understand, and it's as the Spirit gives the utterance. Utterance meaning he gives you the words to speak as you speak them. He doesn't give you all the words at once and have you memorize these words in a foreign language. He gives you the words as you speak, as you move your lips, throat, tongue. He gives you the words. It might sound like just some gibberish to you, but it's not gibberish. Every word that you're speaking is the God-given words. And it does make sense in the language that you're speaking it, even though you don't understand it. If somebody else heard you speak that knows that language, they would understand every word. In fact, that happened on Pentecost Day. The 12 apostles were speaking in tongues. They didn't understand what they were saying. But others in the temple that were there, that were from other countries, that were visiting Jerusalem for the Feast of Weeks, or Pentecost, they understood one or more of the apostles speaking in their own language. Okay? So what they were saying made perfect sense. They were magnifying God. Another quick definition here of speaking in tongues is that it is the external manifestation in the senses world of the internal reality and presence of the power of the Holy Spirit. I wouldn't call that a complete definition because it doesn't really tell you what you're doing as far as speaking in another language, but it is certainly true that when you speak in tongues, It's the external manifestation in the senses world, because it can be seen and heard, of the internal reality and presence of the power of the Holy Spirit. That's why on Pentecost Day, in Acts 2 again, in verse 33, it talks about Jesus Christ being by the right hand of God exalted, or that Jesus Christ was lifted up to the right hand of God, and received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, the promised gift of Holy Spirit. He hath shed forth or poured out this which you now see and hear. Because speaking in tongues could be seen and heard. They couldn't see the gift itself because it's spirit and spirit is not visible. But they could see and hear the speaking in tongues, right? It was a manifestation of the Spirit. So that's speaking in tongues, speaking in a language that you yourself do not know because God's giving you the words to say. You're in control of it. You determine when you're going to start, when you're going to stop, how loud you're speaking, how softly you're speaking. But you're not determining the words to say because God is giving you the words as you speak. Now, interpretation of tongues says the manifestation of interpretation of tongues is your operation of the God-given ability whereby you may, in a believer's meeting, bring forth a message direct from or for God in a language of the people present, the sum and substance of that which you have just spoken forth in an unknown tongue. So speaking in tongues really has two functionalities. One would be in your private prayer life when nobody else is listening, just you and God. You can speak in tongues all you want. God's giving you the words. It says that you can make intercession for people. You can give thanks well. You're speaking with God mysteries or divine secrets. Okay? It says you can pray in the Spirit that way. When you do that, you do not interpret. Understand that? When it's just you and God and nobody else listening, you do not interpret. You just speak in tongues. Now, when you're in a believer's meeting, so say there's three or more of you present, and you're going to speak in tongues, then you would speak in tongues and interpret. You speak in tongues in the foreign language that you don't know. The interpretation will be given to you, again, as you speak, but it would be in English here. If we were a German-speaking group, then we would speak in German, right? If we were Spanish, the interpretation would be in Spanish. But in our group here, we all speak English, so we would speak in tongues, in a language that we don't know, and then God would give you the interpretation as you speak it. You don't make it up yourself. You don't have something memorized, but God gives it to you as you're speaking. And it would be the sum and substance of what you had just spoken forth in an unknown tongue. Prophecy. The manifestation of prophecy is your operation of the God-given ability, whereby you may, in a believer's meeting, bring forth a message from or for God in a language of the people present. It would only be done in a believer's meeting, just like interpretation of tongues would only be done in a believer's meeting. Prophecy, again, because you're speaking to men. It's you and at least two others. You're speaking to men at edification, exhortation, and comfort. Now, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, and discerning of spirits, these are the revelation manifestations. Word of knowledge, the manifestation of word of knowledge is your operation of the God-given ability whereby you may receive from God, by His revealing it to you, certain truths or facts concerning any situation about which it is humanly impossible for you by your five senses to know anything. So there has to be something for God to reveal to you, otherwise there's nothing to get. But if God reveals it to you, then you receive it. God might show you something in a vision. He might give it to you in words. But He reveals it to you in some way so that you wind up knowing it. Sometimes it's just a knowing. You might not hear an audible voice. You might not see a vision. But you know what God has revealed to you. It's a word of knowledge. But it's truths or facts concerning any situation that you couldn't know by your five senses. Word of wisdom. The manifestation of word of wisdom is your operation of the God-given ability whereby you may receive from God by His revealing it to you what to do about a given situation once you know the truth or facts concerning the situation. So it's always a matter of God showing you what action to take, what decision to make, what to do, okay? That's the word of wisdom. We'll get into all of these farther down the road when we look at them individually. Discerning of spirits. The manifestation of discerning of spirits is your operation of the God-given ability whereby you may receive from God by his revealing it to you the necessary information concerning the presence or non-presence of spirits and the identity of spirits present and, if evil, whether you may cast them out. Okay? So God can show you these things by revelation. If there's spirits involved that cannot be seen, he can show them to you by this manifestation. Believing. The manifestation of believing is your operation of the God-given ability whereby you may believe to bring to pass the impossible at your command according to what God has revealed to you by word of knowledge, word of wisdom, and discerning of spirits. It also inspires believing in others. The manifestation of workings of miracles is your operation of the God-given ability whereby you may, in the name of Jesus Christ, by the manifestation of believing, bring to pass miracles according to what God has revealed to you by word of knowledge, word of wisdom, and discerning of spirits. It's not something where you can just decide to do a miracle and command it to be done, but if you have the revelation that God gives you the truths or facts, he lets you know what to do, he might show you what kind of spirits might be involved in the situation, you have that believing to bring the impossible to pass, you follow out the instructions God gave you, God brings it to pass. You see? Gifts of healings. The manifestation of gifts of healings is your operation of the God-given ability whereby you may, in the name of Jesus Christ, by the manifestation of believing, bring to pass healing according to what God has revealed to you by word of knowledge, word of wisdom, and discerning of spirits. This is called a gift or gifts of healings because it's a gift to the recipient of the healing. It's not a gift whereby you have the gift of healing specifically. You have the gift of Holy Spirit. Now, with that gift of Holy Spirit, God can give you revelation. You have that ability to believe to bring the impossible to pass. You follow God's instructions. God brings it to pass. You see, it all works together. And then it's a gift to the person who receives the healing because they don't work for it. They don't pay for it. It's given to them. It's imparted to them freely. So it's a gift to them. You see? So those are the nine manifestations of the one gift of Holy Spirit. And in the weeks to come, we'll look at them individually and look at examples in the Word of God as far as how they're done. Okay? So that's all for tonight.